my daughter is autistic, and just seeing how specific activities help her body and brain organize on a daily basis, how helpful that is. It just more or less inspired me based on learning from a therapy that we had to go to get help in that department and how to make it. So from there, I wanted to continue to work with other autistic people who needed some support needs with activities. And then it just taught me a whole different world of how you can make exercise for everyone included by just modifying, by using different equipments. And it just makes it, to me, more fun because you're doing something totally different out of your box. And just the results that the clients that I see from them, just to see that now she can walk on water. She can walk in the water, I want to say. She can step on those rocks and be okay with that because of the work that she put in with all the activities, that now she's confident and she wants to walk in that water because the sisters are in the waters with us.
You're tuned in to the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Whether you're here to discover fresh insights or simply be entertained, we've got you covered. Visit activeactionpodcast.com to explore all episodes.
Hello. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me with your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another episode where today we will discuss on the topic of autism and fitness. I just wanted to acknowledge all the support and dedication that you fans are providing to us. And also, we have a couple of exciting news. We just recently launched our premium supporters program. Just starting from $1 a month or $10 a year, you'll get access to premium and exclusive contents and perks like premium articles, blogs about personal and professional development, lifestyle building, business, financial growth, entrepreneurship, and that kind of stuff. We will be adding new premium contents every week. Our fans and lovers and also the other premium supporters will get exclusive features and perks, which will give you a more personalized feel and enhance your podcast listening experience. Apart from that, we have also launched our own merchandise, consists of our clothing brands and some other exciting goodies. So do check those out at www.activeaction.shop. But I really appreciate all your support and all your dedication towards this podcast and keep listening to it. So our motivation is to make you motivated to stay active and take action. We try to do that with each of our episodes. So without further ado, I want to introduce our guest for today, Gary Martinez. So good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
Hey there. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing well as well. Thank you so much for asking. Gary is actually a fitness trainer and he works with individuals with autism and has a depth of experience and knowledge in this area. Gary, can you tell a bit about your background to our audience?
Sure. So I became a fitness trainer back in 2012 and I started working at a gym. And then 2 years after that, I chose to go independent as a fitness trainer and I wanted to work with autistic people. My daughter is autistic and just seeing how specific activities help her body and brain organize on a daily basis, how helpful that is. It just more or less inspired me based on learning from a therapy that we had to go to get help in that department and how to make it more fun, customized for my daughter where she really enjoys Disney movies. So I figured, you know what, let's do something that she likes, which is being a part of Disney and making a play scenario out of that and adding some of these activities from our therapy that were sensory related, which goes to occupational therapy. And then I added some fitness into it. And of course, added that fun Disney character piece to it. So for her, it was fun to watch my daughter progress by reenacting a movie scene and did not know, but in a fun way, was getting exercise as I was having us do certain things. And by the time that was done, we'll say about 15 minutes, she went from not completely there in a moment to engaged, to happy, to having good energy. And it was just inspiring to see that progress she made by doing activities and exercises together that really helped her out. So from there, I wanted to continue to work with other autistic people who needed some support needs with activities. And then it just taught me a whole different world of how you can make exercise for everyone included by just modifying, by using different equipment. And it just makes it, to me, more fun because you're doing something totally different out of your box. And just the results that the clients that I see from them, their progressions, is why I continue to do that.
Wonderful, Gary. Thank you so much for telling that. And I just wanted to ask you from your own experience. I know you're an awesome dad to an autistic child. How was that experience for you? I have been a physician for several years, and I used to work with autistic children. To me, autistic children were like a gift because they have all these special visions and this special strength. What was your experience like going through the process and helping your daughter and everything that you're doing right now?
It's very special, like you said, in the sense that each person is different. So you get to learn. You get to learn what is their favorite thing that they like. And for one client, it's talking about that subject for a little bit, giving them the stage. And I'm learning from them what their interests are on a daily basis, things that they like to do in their life. And basically, like our warm-up, a traditional warm-up for exercise is basically, okay, we got to do these stretches for X amount of times, and then we proceed to the workout. But in this case, with our community, it's different where we may just walk around the gym two or three times and we're just talking about life, what is important to them, what they are so passionate about. And to see how happy they are talking about that makes for a nice, smooth transition into the workout where we'll continue the conversation and we'll also get the exercise at the same time. So it's a lot of components. It's a lot of things happening at the same time. Another one of my clients with the low muscle tone, it was difficult to do a push-up. So we had to modify how to do a push-up a different way. And instead of being on the ground doing a push-up, we used a staircase and we counted 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. And that made it easier to work on doing a push-up. So that client went from just bending their, just able to maybe barely bend their elbow to over time do a complete push-up. So everyone has a different journey, and just watching that is amazing. And of course, with my daughter, we of course a little more experience right there is watching her go from at one point scared to walk on the earth because of the uneven surfaces, having sensory difficulties, to a little hard to walk where our balance wasn't all there. And our hand strength, our disused hand strength, as one of the other things, was not all there with the low muscle tone as far as being able to hold a utensil or just being able to brush your teeth. And with just doing all these, doing activities that were at her level, that was doable, progression to now she can do all of that. She can open the door, she can open the jar, she can cut her own food, she can use, her hands are stronger, and her legs are stronger by doing certain exercises, whether it's like at a playground for fun or doing some in the gym or at home where it's just modifying them. And just amazing to see all of these people put in the work, happily putting in the work and getting good results that gives them confidence in their day. It gives them more energy in their day, and the list goes on. So just seeing them happy like that is a good thing to see.
Question, Gary. Thank you for sharing that wonderful experience and story as well. And I think the way you have been doing all this work, that definitely requires a lot of calmness and patience. I want to provide an advice to all our listeners who have autistic kids. The key is to just being patient with your children. And every children is special. Every children is different from one another. they have special needs or their need is like different. We cannot compare that with any other children. To have that patience and to cater those needs is very important. And that is like what also is expected from parents, even of all kind of kids. And I really commend you, Gary, how you helped your daughter to move through these rose realms for the walking and the doing the daily activities, teaching how to do that. That's a wonderful thing that you did. I know you have went through an adventure, because the autism, people don't go through it until they have that experience by themselves. I know it's a unique thing to do. But can you speak a bit about your autism adventures? Anything you want to say about that?
Oh, man, there's so many adventures. but there's one that comes to my mind. So with my daughter, like I had spoken a moment ago, walking on the surfaces of Earth was a scary thing. So we were, for a short period of time, we were a toe walker. So walking on our toes would give her more input received into the feet. And then go through it throughout the body to know that my feet are there. Because like when you have low muscle tone, like your hands and your feet are the furthest away from your upper body and your lower body in their respective places. So when you can't feel that input, it gets a little scary. So over time doing the activities, for example, walking on pillows, just things like that, as we were progressing it, it made her more confident. So on our adventures, throughout time, just getting that information we needed for our body parts, it transitioned to one day, we, again, going to the Disney movies, we like Frozen 2 with the sisters, Anna and Elsa, and we react to the scene where there's a part in the movie where they're in the water or talking about the water where their parents were. So here in our town, there is a creek that runs through the water. And it's one reason why we moved to this town, because the creek that runs through the water reminds her of the movie. So we went from those difficult moments early on in the years with the walking and all that to now we are walking in that water that is at least a couple of feet high, and there's sand, and sand moves. And there's different rocks in that creek that are different sizes. So you have to step on different rocks. Some of them are solid and don't move. Some of them are going to move. And then you have the resistance of the creek water running towards you because it's coming from the mountain and it's coming to us as we're facing it, going the direction that we're going. And just to see that now she can walk on water. She can walk in the water, I want to say. She can step on those rocks and be okay with that because of the work that she put in with all the activities, that now she's confident and she wants to walk in that water because the sisters are in the waters with us in the movie. So we're on a little mission there. And so there's a little distraction there. And to see her smile and laugh because we're in the water, she's doing something that at one time wasn't something we were able to do. And now the fact that she can even run in the water was another big step, because now running is something a little more advanced than walking. Mm-hmm. And so it's just that adventure right there, the first time we went in that water and reenacted that movie scene was a really special moment, because we were walking in the water. And then as we were going, she was describing other scenes in the movie. So that day was pretty fun. And the unpredictability can sometimes be frightening for us. And what happened at the end, we walked so far. So it was a good workout. And then I always tell my daughter, whenever you want to stop, you tell me. So we stopped and we had to get out of the water onto the trail. And when we got out of the water, I didn't know it was a little slippery. I slipped and I fell on my back in the mud, and that made my daughter laugh. And then she slipped a little bit. And she started laughing. Normally, that would be a scary thing. Mm-hmm. But since she's made the progress and she's in the moment and she's happy with what we're doing in the moment, she started laughing too. And so when we got out of that creek onto the trail, oh my God, we're wet. Oh, you got dirt all over you. It was a fun thing, because getting wet and getting some of that wet type of information for touch is also a good thing if that's something that we like. And on that day, she really liked that. So it was a workout, a movie, and then laughter. So it was a lot of things into one. So that was a good adventure that day.
Yes, indeed, Carrie. And a pretty wonderful adventure and how you recreate cinematic moments into real life and transform them into something very wonderful. And even the dedication that you're showing for your daughter, loving the water, the creek, and moving to that place so that your daughter can have that moments of enjoyment and then the journey and adventure itself. Thank you so much for sharing that adventure.
Can I add one quick piece of information to that?
Yes, for sure.
What that does right there, when you have a good moment like that in our lives, that can carry over to perhaps the rest of the day. Because we had a good moment, it can stay in her headspace and throughout the day, make the rest of the day, all the transitions that you do, a positive experience. And because you have a special moment like that, a lot of times my daughter will remember things like that and recite it at any moment, any day. And it can go on for weeks or months. So it's something that can help them in all areas of their life when you have a good moment like that. So it's important to, for myself as a parent, to engage, to do things together, because it shows that trust, that commitment, and that they know that you're there for them. So as a result, it can be a story that comes up at any time of any day, and it could be a helpful tool. So it's good to have those moments because it's a good moment at that time, but it's also bigger than that, where it can be like a coping tool that you can carry on other days of life. So it's pretty unique and special.
For sure. I would request my audiences to take some very important, valuable lessons from Gary's words of wisdom, that creating happy, healthy moments for your children would actually go a long way. And those moments would have been recreating moments in their mind, which actually helped them with a lot of coping mechanisms and others. So a very important and valuable tip. I wanted to focus a bit at this moment on your fitness training and the fitness journey with autistic children or the autistic clientele. So how would you describe that journey has been going, and what actually led you to begin that journey?
Ooh, good questions. When I was finishing up my school as a fitness trainer, towards the end of that, you have to do, I want to say externship, where you have to go out somewhere to a gym, a place that you could be working at, and to get your hours in as part of your schooling. I went to the YMCA, a gym I grew up at, to do my hours. And it basically said, okay, here's our schedule of all the classes, so you can get your hours very fast and be done. So I looked through the classes, and at that time, I was into athletes and that kind of workouts like that, sport type related. But I took other classes, and what happened was, by surprise, I took a class called Silver Sneakers. And Silver Sneakers is a class that it tailors more towards older people and that perhaps cannot do exercises on the gym floor with machines or heavy weights. And so what happened was, I went into this class, never did it before, and I saw all these people gathering, and we sit in chairs in the beginning. And I was inspired at the moment, because these people came in happy. They were ready to do their exercise, because it really helps them out in their daily routine of life. And they just came in happy. People were coming in with oxygen tank. People were coming in with things to help them walk or a wheelchair. But that didn't stop them, because this class has exercises that they can all do. And the instructor that would teach the class was just, her spirit was so positive and high that it trickled down to how everyone else felt. So I was already happy, and the class hadn't even started. So then I started to learn that we would use things like a sponge ball, like this, easy, soft equipment, and other things that were lightweight, and that we could do everything. We could work out the entire body, like sitting down in a chair. And then she would make us stand up and use the chair as balance. So we went through different routines, and everybody was just together on that class, together supporting each other. So what happened was, I started to work with adults that were older and needed support like that. And then I jumped into the autism community, and I just learned from the Silver Sneakers that if you know how to do workouts with people, no matter their condition or level, and can use lighter equipment, then anything is possible for someone to get what they need for exercise. So that kind of threw a little spark in me to, okay, I think I'm having a good time with these people. And I think now I want to go where my heart is and my passion and help our community too. Because I saw that a lot of our kids in our families, like on social media, they needed help, but they didn't know where to go. Some places, not to their fault, they just didn't particularly know how to help our community get consistent exercise and activity. So I was like, I'm going to do that. So then I would jump in social media where families needed help. And mm-hmm. I just said that I can help your child out. I took it from there. And then it just made my mind really creative. Hey, I'm a creative person anyway, thanks to my daughter, learning how to improvise and adapt at the moment. And like you said earlier, patience and understanding, two big things. I have that because that's our game of life, and to observe and to accept the person and to learn from them. Therefore, I am the students. They are the teacher. And then I have to become the practitioner. So I have to know what to do. I have to do my homework. And then that's how I was able to know that I have the confidence and the tools to help our community out. And then I just did it from there. And now I do it part-time and not to overload myself. But I am more than willing to help anyone who needs it. I have no problem adding one, two, or three more clients to help our community out, kids, young adults, so they can get what they need. And hopefully that makes their day better.
Thank you for sharing that very wonderful story of yours on how you got into the fitness area for the autistic clientele. I just want to quickly follow up, Gary. Can you let me know where are you located, in which area, and people reach out to you for help?
Yes, so I'm in Manitou Springs, Colorado. And some of my clients that I have, we do go to a gym. So with one client, we do go to a gym. That's what they like to do, so that's what I do. And another client likes to do it virtually. So see, you just gotta know how to adapt. And having all that experience, so we do it virtually too. And it just goes hand in hand, so I can help somebody on a video call like this, or physically in a gym if people are local. Basically, doesn't matter where you are. If someone needs that help, I'm available.
That is wonderful to have that online access, so that people from anywhere in the world can reach out to you, as we do have a very diverse base of audience. I wanted to talk to you a bit about, and you mentioned that before, low muscle tone. So I wanted to ask you, what is actually low muscle tone?
Okay, for me, what I've learned from us having low muscle tone is it's like a decreased muscle. And our muscles are perhaps not as strong. And so therefore, it can interfere in your life with doing things, like I said earlier, as far as like holding something that's, you know, light for me, like a pencil. That can be very hard for someone with low muscle tone. And it can also, what I've seen, is cause like fatigue. People can get tired trying to work with their hands or things like that. So low muscle tone for me, for what I've seen, we're perhaps not as strong. So we need support in getting stronger, getting some strength in those areas of the body. It could be like our fine motor skills, like it's hard to perhaps tie our shoe because there's steps involved to do that. And perhaps we get tired easy because our muscles are not as strong in the moment. So that can cause fatigue and make a person tired a little quicker than normal. So I think those are some common things, not just with us, but what I've also seen in some other people. And then, of course, the list goes on a little bit more, but those are three good areas to point out and touch.
I guess our audience got to learn a bit about what is low muscle tone and what actually happens when someone has that. You did show us up on SpongeBob as well, Gary, which I see right beside you.
Yes,
so can you explain to my clients how can a SpongeBob exercise can help with low muscle tone?
Sure. So if this is going to be on video, if not, I'm going to talk through it anyway. So
that can be helpful.
Either way, you can understand the viewer. So like I have a sponge ball in my hands right now. And this is, of course, it's a lightweight, soft ball. And it bends when you grab it and do exercises. So let's say I got into my hands right now like I do. My hands are on the side of the ball. And I want to work on getting my fingers and my hamstrings a little stronger. Not only will it get stronger, but if you continue to do it when the person wants to do it, that's key. So it's fun for them. Also, you will condition your fingers and hands to have more energy. So in time, they'll be stronger, have more energy, and may not get as tired as easy. Mm-hmm. So the demonstration is, so I got into my hands right here. My hands are on the side of the ball. And all I want to do is just press my fingers like this into the ball. So all I'm doing is squeezing the ball, basically. Mm-hmm. Squeezing it with my fingers. And what's going on is not only what you see, your finger squeezing the ball, you can see the outside of your fingers and hand, perhaps the veins or whatever you can see getting the action. But when you have a tool like a ball that moves when you touch it, squeeze it, hold it, whatever, with your hands or legs, there is deeper muscles in the body that we cannot see that's like inside the hands. So basically, smaller muscles are also becoming involved in that one simple exercise of squeezing the ball. So basically, the more, the merrier, more action is happening when you're squeezing that object that moves. And not only when I'm squeezing it, is the hands and fingers itself and some of the rest of the arm getting that action so you can feel what parts of the body are engaged, but also your brain. You can feel in the moment like you're also getting some oxygen and some blood flow to your brain when you're squeezing an object like that. Not just the area that's doing it, but other parts of the body too are connecting. So you got muscles right there and you got the brain right there working together. And anytime the brain and the body work together, that's a good thing when they can team up and be best friends also like that. So a lot of things are going on with just a little ball squeeze.
Thank you so much, Gary, for explaining that and even why people should use a sponge ball. And how it can help with low muscle tone, the exercise that went into it and the venous and other circulation of blood and the activity not even in the fingers itself, but also in the hand and how that is connected to the brain. I hope our audience got to learn something new that they can apply in their daily life or routine.
Okay, so like sometimes our kids will do what's called stimming for people who don't know what that is. And stimming is a way to, by themselves, the person, help calm them down in a situation where they could be overwhelmed, overstimulated in the environment. So let's just say, for example, someone is flapping their hands a lot and they're trying to calm down. They're asking whoever's around them for the next step. So they need like an activity that's a little more heavier than hand flapping. So this can come in, so this ball squeeze could be the next step for someone who's stimming and maybe they need a ball in their hands and perhaps they need help, but they may not know to ask for help in the moment. So if I see that and I know that we need to calm down and need the next step, perhaps for us, maybe we need a hand exercise. We can squeeze the ball and not only is that an exercise, like we said a minute ago, but it can also be a calm down tool. It just depends on the person and the needs.
Oh, okay. Very valuable suggestion. Thank you, Gary, for that. So I want to ask you one of the questions that I feel like when you discuss about fingers and hands and the use of the sponge ball, can I ask you like, how do you make hands stronger?
Okay, yeah. So the sponge ball squeeze could be the first step, like we just showed, to work on getting the hands stronger like that. And then after time, the person is, I want to do something else. I'm strong. What's something else I can do for my hands? Then perhaps, let's say we can get some, what are they called? I want to say they're the Chinese balls that fit in your hand. And they're a little heavier than the sponge ball. So now you have a little deeper pressure, which can give a person even more information to their brain and body, which can be a little more helpful. So perhaps the next step could be those balls you put in your hand and you start rubbing them to get the sensation. But since they're a little heavier, then it's going to test your conditioning, where now you can get even stronger with your hand strength, but also work on that energy part by conditioning them from doing the activity. So it just depends on the person. Like, I may ask them, give them a few options. Would you like to use this A, B, or C to do something, a new hand exercise that'll make you even more stronger? And I'll be like in a playful tone and other things like that, where it's very helpful for the person. And then we'll make the selection and then we'll start doing that next activity.
Thank you so much, Gary, for explaining that. And you have this wealth of knowledge and wisdom how to train and how to work with the autistic client. Also, I would really encourage my audience, if you are looking to that kind of support, please reach out to Gary.
So on Instagram and TikTok and also Facebook and YouTube, so four right there. And that's why I said it slow, so everyone can, if they need to write it down, they can write it down. The name I have for those platforms is Simple Fitness Autism. So Simple Fitness Autism in all four of those platforms. And it's me right now, what I just did. It's just me doing some simple 15-second, I want to say, videos of exercises or activities for the community out there to immediately start practicing and doing and seeing if it's helpful or not. Or, okay, this one, not this one, maybe they got to find another video. So I make sure I stay consistent at least once a month to put a video out there for our community. And sometimes it is exercises with a piece of equipment, or sometimes I'm thinking out of the box, like maybe I need to do one for someone to soothe. So I might do one where it's like a massage and I'm dragging my fingers around the cheekbones, because sometimes, again, our kids need to calm down. And I know the mouth for a lot of people is a place we need input. So I would do like a drag on my fingers right there to demonstrate. So I like to give a little variety of video mix for the community.
Okay, thank you so much, Gary, for the information. And I also wanted to let our audience know, if you go to our website, www.activeaction.fm, if you search like Gary's name, you can see his profile coming up, and you'll also get all the links to the connections or the social media channels over there as well. And also, if you do want to ask any question, you can reach out to Gary via email, which address will be there as well. Again, thank you so much, Gary, for coming to this podcast and spending some time with our audience and sharing your words of wisdom. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you too. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Thank you so much, dear audience, for listening to that episode. So we got to learn a bit about autism and how, you know, what the adventure is, what the process feels like going through, and how even fitness and other sorts of help can support you to help your autistic children. And also we did get to learn about the sponge ball exercise. So I encourage you to try that at home. I'll just take this opportunity to thank again all of you to keep supporting us, and to remind you that we have launched our own merchandising. So if you want to buy a cloth or any other goodies, please visit www.activeaction.shop. And if you also want to get access to some premium contents like articles and blogs and strategy guides on what to do for personal professional development, and even on how to start a business or how you can attain financial growth, you can do that by going to www.activeaction.fm/supporter. So if you go to the link, you'll get some of our premium supporters plan starting for only $1 a month. And last but not least, if you find value in our content, please don't forget to provide us a tip. You can provide that in www.activeaction.fm/tip. Again, thank you so much for joining. And next week, I'll be back with another episode, and where we will motivate you to stay active and take action.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. For more episodes and updates, head over to activeactionpodcast.com.